All right, welcome to a brand new show. It's called Things in the Bible That Talk. I'm your host, Kirk Moore.
That's me. All right, today we're going to encounter the serpent from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" As we all know that serpents all spoke with sort of a British accent. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." A serpent's talking in the Bible. I don't know anything about the science of this passage and how that works. I do know that this passage introduces temptation and disobedience and the story of humanity and God. It would have been very cool to hear that serpent talk, though. I don't think it really spoke with a British accent, or that it even spoke English, since people didn't speak English back then. I don't know what language it spoke, but somehow there was communication. I think it would have been cool, though. Well, let's move forward to another time, another place, to a talking donkey. I'm not going to say the other word. It might be offensive. Numbers 22, 21 through 30. So Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the officials of Moab. God's anger was kindled because he was going, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the road as his adversary. Now, he was riding on the donkey, and his two servants were with him. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. So the donkey turned off the road and went into the field. And Balaam struck the donkey to turn it back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on either side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it scraped against the wall and scraped Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck it again. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it lay down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a fool of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand. I would kill you right now." But the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey, which you have ridden all your life to this day? Have I been in the habit of treating you this way?" And he said, "No." A donkey talking because God did not want it to get beaten anymore. That's cool. All right, now let's move forward to a time when Jesus entered Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey. What talked this time? Nothing. Well, the people were really chattering. When the Pharisees told Jesus to shut them up, Jesus said, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." And Jesus didn't shut up the people, so the stones didn't have to talk. Okay, there was a lot of noise. Imagine people shouting. Animals making regular noises. Animal noises. Food vendors selling bratwursts. Or maybe not food vendors, but maybe vendors selling some kind of food or souvenirs. It was quite a day. It was quite a parade. And Jesus was ready to be known in Jerusalem as the Anointed One. He had his disciples go and fetch a young colt. People put cloaks on the colt, and Jesus rode into town with celebration but with humility. People put cloaks out in front of him, and in another reading, not the one that we did today, but one of the other gospels, says that the people took palm branches and went to meet him. So imagine people waving palms all over the place, making cheering noises and animal noises and food vendors. Let's make that noise now. Ready? Make this noise. 1, 2, 3. No, you got it. Okay, just someone go, "Ah," they were shouting out. Someone say, "Hello." Someone say, "Hot dog, get your hot dog."
And some people make animal noises. You can do this. I know you can. Ready? One, two, three.
It's got to be louder. Come on. You know.
Really? Who said that? That's good. No, a little bit more. Some of you are like, why did we hire this guy? All right, here we go. Loud noises. You know, there's a lamb downstairs. Some of you can make lamb noises. Okay? Ready? Mitch, you can do this. You can make noises. Okay, really loud. I'll make noises with you. Okay, ready? Here we go.
Okay, now let's see if we were making a movie or something right now. I would like hold up my hand, like, and you would make the noise, and then I would cut when I was supposed to do it. You kind of like, this is really loud, and this is sort of half loud. Okay, let's see if we can do that. Ready? Really loud. No, not stopping. That's half loud.
If I take my hand and or do this or something, that's safe. I know, but it's also cut, right? Sorry. Okay, try it again. Ready?
Okay, you got it. Okay, now, for this next part, you have to do it. Ready? We're going to have the crowd sounds really loud. I think it was a massive parade. Keep going. When Jesus entered Jerusalem on that colt, the people cheered. The people screamed. They had a great time. There was so much excitement that people thought maybe the stones would shout out too. I also think that there was little, if anything, genuine about the celebration. Jesus didn't come into town riding like a warrior on a giant horse, and that disappointed some people. They were angry that the Anointed One wasn't arriving to take over. Anointed One, Messiah, the Christ, all the same word. Jesus didn't sneak into town to avoid notice. And some people were frightened, saying that he was arriving to take over. So some people are bothered by the fact that he's not coming like a warrior, saying, I'm coming to take over. And that bothered some people. And some other people were bothered that he didn't come into town just sort of meekly and walking in there. He did announce, I am the Anointed One. Not by saying it, but by coming into town on a colt. He was the Anointed One of God, and he came in humility. And that bothered people from both sides. So, why is Palm Sunday a day that we celebrate with such joy? The kids coming down the aisles waving the palm branches. Are we celebrating the ones who lost interest? You know, those people who were cheering at best did lose interest towards the end of the week. Some may even have been a part of the shouting for Jesus' crucifixion just a few days later. Are we celebrating that? Can we separate the actions of a crowd that was somewhat fickle from the genuine celebration of the arrival of Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed One? We can. We don't have to just look back and say, that was a mistake, we shouldn't celebrate it, because there was a celebration. We don't have to have misplaced motivation for offering praise. We don't have to simply be along for the ride and fickle enough to change the way we act towards God and others when the fanfare dies down or when the situation gets a little more difficult. We can move forward seeking better understanding of what we are celebrating so that we really can celebrate. When we were waving our palms before, how many of you knew exactly what we were doing? Well, come on, some of you raised your hand. You had to know. Yeah, there you go. And some of you were like waving the palms. The kids were coming down the aisle. They were just waving palms. They had no idea what was going on, but there was a celebration. At least they were getting a little taste of this cool celebration that was going on, even though, you know, well, some kids weren't really into it. I noticed that. Did you see some kids were like, and other kids had them waving, but they weren't really sure. Downstairs, they're learning more about that today. But coming to the party doesn't mean you have to know everything about the party. we can experience a real celebration, a kind that is so genuine and filled with joy that we can't keep it contained. And think about that. Think about what kind of celebrations you've had in your life that you can't keep your joy contained, like your wedding or the birth of a child, a graduation, summer vacation. Who's got the celebration of summer vacation coming soon? Christmas. How many of you can sleep really early on Christmas Eve? How many of you get up early on Christmas Day? You don't? Oh, come on. You do too. How about Easter? You all get up early and come to the 7 o'clock service. How about Palm Sunday? Well, none of you really were ready for the huge celebration of Palm Sunday. I hear a bell. We have reason to celebrate Jesus. We know that the events we remember and celebrate over the next week. It's not that, you know, Good Friday is a day where we're kind of sad and sorrowful, but we know what happens. It's why we celebrate on Good Friday, because we know what happens. It's why we can celebrate on Palm Sunday, because we know the rest of the story, that Jesus died and Jesus rose again. And this part was Him coming into town, and it was important that He come into town that way so that He would be announced as the Anointed One. But He had to come with humility so that He was the humble Savior, not the one who came to take over like the warrior. And we can celebrate that. How do we make it real, though? How do we put aside maybe the fickleness that we might have with it? You know, when we leave church today, we're probably not going to be thinking a whole lot about Palm Sunday. And we might do things that we wouldn't do in church. I don't know if any of you do that. I know I do. You know, sometimes we don't do it right. But how can we make this celebration today and then every day real? You think of those times that you remember fondly. Remember the wedding, the birth of a child, graduation, summer vacation, Christmas, Easter, Palm Sunday. Think of those times that give you the chills. The good kind of chills, not the bad kind of chills like in the scary movies. As part of remembering, here's what you do. Say a simple prayer of thanks to God. Just a simple prayer. And I know that God is present in all situations, and I don't have the ability to even understand for a minute why we endure hardship and why there is tragedy and why there is illness when we have a God who loves and cares for us. But go with me on this. When you think of those times that give you the chills, those amazing celebrations, spend a little time and just thank God. Thank you, God, for this celebration. And as that becomes more and more natural to you, you can start thanking God in all situations. It's hard to thank God in all situations. It may feel kind of artificial, may feel kind of forced at first, but continue it. Continue it until it becomes something that is natural to you. Continue until your praise and thanks for God is nothing but genuine. And I don't know how long that takes. You see, I'm usually in the artificial and forced category when I'm trying to do that. It takes long time. But I trust, and you can trust, that God is present, guiding and loving us through it all. And I believe that all of us can move forward. We can grow in our faith. We can grow in love for God and grow in love for one another as we get closer and closer to a time where our celebration is so genuine, so massive, that if we stopped, we'd probably hear a rock talk. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for sending Jesus, our Savior. Thank you for coming to give us life. And to give it to us abundantly. Amen.